everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4 Recap for a madcap finale, a double crowning, shocker heard around the globe, heard around the universe here on reality TV, perhaps. My name is Mike Bloom, part of the trio of people here to serenade you with our tunes as we talk about this finale of RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm trying to hit you with everything on the guitar strings and all. Let me welcome in the rest of my panel. Liana Boris, kicking it on the drums. Nice beat coming in, Liana.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have this fear of any damage happening to my teeth. And when Alaska, she had blacked out one of her teeth, it was very uncomfortable for me, to say the least. So can I not be Alaska, please, in this? Yeah, make Brent be Alaska.
No, I mean, Brent, I think Brent is more comparable to Chad Michaels here, especially since he's on the turntables right now, spinning it when there's no real record scratches in the actual song.
Look, I just want to say that when I saw the results of this finale, the fuckery that was happening here, I thought back to Gia Gunn in her original season when she said, "My God, I guess there's room for everybody." Because yes. Why is there a tie when there doesn't need to be a tie? Anyway, we'll get to it.
Okay, so there were only 10 queens, and two of them were crowned, which means 20% of the competitors this season won this season. And if you take out the cannon fodder, like the Jasmine Masters and the Pheromones and the Gia Guns of the world, that's like 30% of the cast won this season. So
pretty good success rate.
Yeah.
And our friend Matt Gagan from Rob Is a Podcast said that he can't believe that it took two extra episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul still couldn't pick a winner. Oh, my God.
We have so much to get into here. And obviously, we need to lead off with this result. So, once again, for those of you that might not be in the know or just need to be shocked back to reality like poor Trinity the Tuck was, if you saw that video of the winner reveal, we have not one, but two winners of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. After this finale where they did a performance of RuPaul's Super Queen, including their own lyrics, they did their final runways, they did their pleas as to why they should be America's Next Drag Superstar, Ru announced Monet Exchange, Trinity the Tuck are the top two. If you listen to our predictions at the end of the last podcast, I think we were all kind of in agreement that it was going to be between those two. And they went into a lip sync. We certainly have opinions about that. And Rue shocked both the audience and the queens themselves by declaring that both Monet and Trinity are dual winners of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. Obviously, there is a lot to get into in terms of our feelings around this outcome. I know Brent has been stewing in his juices for the better part of 12 hours to just ruminate on this. So I'm going to throw to Liana first. How are you feeling about this? Did you expect this outcome at all?
No, I did not expect this outcome. As RuPaul said, for the first time in RuPaul's Drag Race history, we're going to crown two bitches.
Oh, I think you mean like ADR RuPaul being like, for the first time in Drag Race history.
Awkwardly voiced over, awkwardly edited together, where it's just the side-by-side of the two winner, you know, outcomes, because they film both because they, you know, want to keep it a secret who's actually going to win. So then they just stuck it together. It felt like a very last-minute decision. And after the performance, which my initial impression of Super Queen was very meh, then it was like, okay, we're getting to the answers, the sort of normal thing. And then this happened, it felt like an absolutely and complete letdown, like so anticlimactic.
Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about the editing of it for a moment. I mean, I'm sure that they are good people and they did the absolute best that they could. Obviously, they were not prepared for this. And it looks to me like no one saw it coming, even though there were rumors about this being a possibility. I mean, the worst part about it to me was there was no shot of Monet and Trinity celebrating on the stage, like, oh my God, we won. Like, if I won and you won, I'd be like, oh my God, yay, we both did it. Oh my God, we both get $100,000, which, by the way, is the only good thing that came out of this. Yeah. I want to point that out. I just assumed, I think like many other people, that in crowning them both, that they have to share the prize. No, bitch. They each get a crown and scepter, which apparently ain't cheap, and they each get $100,000. So I will give it up to them because they are printing money seriously over there at VH1 with the way that RuPaul's Drag Race is rating right now. So I am glad that they decided to do that. However, as we've seen from Big Brother and other shows, it's not necessarily a given. So kudos to them for that. But my God, this was, I don't understand how it is. Mike, Liana, tell me if I'm overstating this. I don't understand how it is you can have such a great show like All Stars and you continually try to outdo yourself to piss off the fans every season. And this time it seems in an effort to placate the fans, they pissed the fans off. Am I reading this correctly?
I mean, it's really a self-defeating nature like you're talking about. I mean, I feel like All Stars, what this has proven to me, quite honestly, is that I just have to realize that All Stars seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race are much more about the journey than the destination. And I think even the show realizes that. I think the reason why the show throws in all these twists and turns each and every season is because they want to make good television, you know, news bites. They want to make water cooler talk the next day. And that might mean sacrificing the sanctity of the game. And this is just another indicator of that, you know, we've been led to believe this entire philosophy of one will end up winning, and they say, you know what, we're going to crown two just to make, you know, a big surprise that everyone's going to be talking about the next day. It makes sense when you're making a TV show, but I mean, comparing it to the regular Drag Race proper, it's really apples and oranges now.
Well, I suppose, and I live in the real world, I'm sure Liana does too. We watch Big Brother every year. We watch Big Brother Canada every year, which is known for its twists. So I'm not opposed to twists for the sake of twists. I'm not even opposed to bad twists. Taryn always talks about the fact that there's some guy who has to justify his job, and they're the one coming up with the twists. I don't even mind that guy if that's what's happening here. The problem to me is that there was no satisfaction at the end of this, and not for nothing, this was one of the most boring finales that I have ever witnessed in my life. I cannot tell you seriously how bad this, when they said they were going to do Super Queen, okay, I was like, oh, that's a great song. That sounds really great. You know, like, I mean, because I, you know, you hear it on the runway, you're like, and I'm humming it, you know, she's a super queen. You know, you got that jig in your head. But oh my God, the lyrics that they did were so forgettable. Like, they slowed it down so that they could do it. And there was this weird guitar coming in. It was so bad. Like, I want to tell you this. I'm going to say, okay, we know the way things go on finales, right? Okay, they often, it's like, you know, write a verse for a song, go on the podcast with Michelle and Rue, do a little choreography, and lip sync at the end. We got it. That's like, that is the formula. So we got it. And there have been so many times where this has happened, but this one was so meh. And other, even regular shows of RuPaul's Drag Race, like the season 9 episode where they had to write versus the one that Trinity was talking about, where she was getting shade from the fans. Like, I still play that. I think I played Category Is that night and downloaded it on iTunes. I don't have Spotify, don't judge me. And I really wanted to listen to it over and over again to the point where I know the lyrics. It's like, you know, peppermint, like sugary, sweet confection, bad for your teeth, spicy, red hot, chocolatey, I'm minty fresh, but it ain't for free. Like, I know the whole thing, okay? But I am not going to be singing any of the lyrics from this damn thing because it was so terrible. It was really bad. I did not care for it at all. And I'm coming back to my major point, which is I can forgive the twists, okay? But I cannot forgive bad television. And I feel like that's what we got last night.
Okay, so I think to address the comment of, was this them trying to make headlines? First of all, obviously you bring in the Mooch if you want to make headlines, or Omarosa, learn from Big Brother. So I'm excited for the Mooch to be on the next season.
Oh my God, could you imagine if RuPaul took like 30 minutes out of this 90-minute finale to do a sit-down with the Mooch to just sort of talk about his experience as a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, exactly. But, okay, so that joke aside, I don't think that that was actually the case. I mean, maybe that was one of the tangential reasons, but really, I think it goes back to wanting to placate the fans. I think it was, okay, we understand the optics of this. We probably want to give it to Trinity, but we also want to give it to Monet. And there's sort of this internal struggle that's going on. And ultimately, the decision that was made was, oh, hey, let's just give it to both. And then as a side effect of that, sure, yeah, we make some headlines, blah, blah, blah. But I really think because this was them trying to deal with sort of the optics of the situation, what do? Let's crown both. I think that was the decision, and that's why it was made, not necessarily because it was going to make great TV, because as Brent pointed out, oh, it did not make great
TV. No, it did not.
It made terrible TV. At the end, it was just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, no, this isn't happening. And then on top of it, yeah, I completely agree that the Spotify acoustic remix of Super Queen was probably not the one they wanted to go with. Also, the fact that they're doing choreo and their bodies are half covered by the smoke, the fog, yeah, or whatever that was there. So you couldn't even see them. It was slowed down. I swear to God, there were more shots of Trixie Mattel, yep, doing her weird, like, clippy clappy thing than of the actual queen singing. I'm pretty sure that the original winners of All Stars 1, 2, and 3 were on screen more than Naomi Smalls of the entire season, not just in this episode. Okay. So it was brutal.
Yeah. I mean,
to say the least.
We'll get to it later on. I totally agree that, like, my pet peeve with a show like American Idol is that they always cut to the judges in the middle of people performing. And just, oddly enough, the same thing sort of happened here where I'd say every like 10 seconds or so, they cut back to these three blondes on the playing their fake instruments like they're Josie and the Pussycats on the stage. It's like, we don't need to see them. I don't care. I want to see these people performing.
I know, right? I was like, why are you here? Why are you here? This, yes, ain't about you. This ain't about you.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm sorry. Like, I understand they want to be here. They want to say hi. They want to kiki with the queens. Fine. You want to be here for the crowning? Fine. Why the hell are you in this performance? Get out.
It felt so long, too. I went and timed it. It's like 3 minutes and 30 seconds, this normal length of a song. But it felt so long.
By the way, speaking of the optics of the situation, our friend Amon Adwin, who is famous on Twitter for his hot takes on things, tweeted out something last night that I thought really summed up the way I felt about this whole finale. It's titled Facts Are Facts. If y'all haven't heard it, we are going to play it for you. I asked Amon if I could play it, and he gave me his blessing. And Mike, I think you have that ready to go. So if you want to play it,
take it away, Amon.
Why would you waste our time? Listen, I love Drag Race. I'm sure we all love Drag Race, which is why most of us are pissed the fuck off. Why do this to these queens? You asked them to come back for All Stars because they fell short of their own expectations on the original season for another chance to snatch the crown, to be the winner of Drag Race All Stars 4, only to taint both of their wins with a tie? What is it with this, like, participation trophy consolation bullshit?
Preach.
Like, y'all listen to these fans too much. Like, I know the fans can be rabid for this show, as I am turning into one of them, obviously. And we all know it's no fucking secret that the past three winners of this show have been white. I get it. So you thought that the solution to appease the fans that thought that there were other deserving queens of color that probably could have won, namely last season, you thought that the way to circumvent that fury and that rage was to then give a black queen a win, but force her to share it with a white queen? If a queen is going to win, a queen is going to win. If a queen is going to lose, a queen is going to lose. If we're going to do this whole fucking report card bullshit, which I don't know why there are, because that's not the rules when it comes to All Stars, then it was clear that Trinity deserved to win this season. Was I super excited for her to win? No, but the bitch deserved it. So why would you then have Monet win just to have her be the first black one? And why would you force Trinity to also share? If y'all would have just done what the fuck you were supposed to do last season,
yep,
and not let those raggedy ass bitches come back and vote Shangela's ass off,
yep,
y'all probably wouldn't even have to be in this mess. But y'all just have to have your gag moment every fucking season. Let me tell you something. Not all gags are created equal, okay?
Yes.
Sometimes there are some pleasant gags, and then there are the gags that make you throw up at the end. So now both these queens have to travel, and I'm sure they're going to be successful. I love Trinity. I love Monet. They're both very talented queens. But I would be pissed off if I were one of them, and on every fucking event I go to, you got all these fans kicking in your ear saying, you should have won that one. Like, who wants to hear that?
Yes, preach, bitch. That, seriously, I don't know about you guys, but I love you. That really sums up everything that I was thinking about this. And I called this at the time that this happened, when they took it away from Shangela, who rightly deserved to win after De La quit, when she was the going to be the winner, and they took it away from her, that they were going to have a problem, because now you got three blonde white bitches, when Alaska's wearing her blonde hair, I should say, and what are you going to do? Are you really going to crown a fourth white queen in a row? And I hear you people, there's plenty of people listening to this podcast say, Brent, why you got to talk about that? Why you got to talk about that? Because we live in the real world, y'all. And social media makes a big deal about it. And then RuPaul listens to her fans. It's been clear ever since season four that RuPaul, like the fans have a big, not necessarily an absolute, given Katya, but a big impact on the way a season eventually goes down. I actually like it better when Ru just, you know, sticks to her guns and is like, you know what? I want to crown Tyra Sanchez. I'm going to crown Tyra Sanchez. Nobody wanted Tyra Sanchez to win during season two, but RuPaul crowned her ass because she thought she deserves to win. I guarantee you, a Tyra Sanchez win does not happen in 2019. It just does not. They care too much about what the fans think, and in doing so, they do themselves a disservice for their overall product. I can't remember who it was that tweeted this. I retweeted it. If I can figure it out later, I'll give credit to it. But they was basically something to the effect, oh, it was Andy Denhart from Reality Blurred, where he was like, I think that Big Brother and Drag Race, both shows that I cover for a living, just take their fans for granted at this point and really don't care about the overall ramifications of their decisions. And I think that that's certainly true. And that's so disappointing to me. Although I am heartened by what you said, Mike. I've never thought about it quite like that. But that it's not really about the end on All Stars. Given, like, look what happened to Shangela. You know what I mean? Like, it's about the journey and getting to rediscover these queens again. So I'm going to make an attempt in the future not to be as bothered by the results of All Stars 5. And it is coming, by the way. But right now it's Liana, it stings. It really does.
Okay. So quick comment, if they are listening to the fans, so RuPaul's Drag Race, producers, NSA, I don't know, whoever's listening, can Monique Hart please get the love that she deserves? My God, those freaking qualified critiques at the end. I was so mad. I wanted Monique to win so badly in that moment. So anyway, just throwing that out there. Okay. Thanks guys. Bye.
Just wait until she comes back for All Stars 8, guys. I think she'll really have it then. I mean, this, I see where you're coming from, Brent, but I actually feel like in this case with Drag Race, as Liana said, I think they were overly concerned about how the fans would react, which on paper, I understand. This is a very rabid fan base, and that cuts both ways. The same people that support all these fantastic careers of all these fantastic queens through the years are sometimes the people who send racist death threats to Naomi Smalls for getting rid of someone like Manila Luzon because you got rid of, quote-unquote, the true winner of All Stars 4. So I can understand them trying to have their cake and eat it too, but what it comes off as, and this is the word that I saw all across social media in the past, you know, 20 or so hours since this outcome has aired, is a cop-out. It came across like a cop-out. It came across like you didn't want to swing one way or the other. You didn't want to reward someone like Trinity, who has done well consistently all season long because you didn't like the optics of it. You didn't want to completely give it to Monet because you didn't want to piss off the people who said, well, report card. Then why does it matter what you do throughout the entire season? They decided to do both. And instead of them coming off like they both won, it honestly comes across like they're both sharing the win, which to me has a different connotation, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, going into this, I was like, you know what? I really like all of these top four queens. And somehow they still ruined it. So I don't know if this was them, you know, taking the easy road, like they what they thought was the easy road. But I don't know. It just, I feel so unsatisfied after watching this finale.
I mean, we should have predicted it, guys. The Hollis Slay special had everyone winning. The seeds were there. We just did not heed the warnings that would come. And I totally agree with you, Leon. I mean, I want to say off the top here, I love both Monet and Trinity, and I could see either one of them fantastically as a singular winner. For some reason, and maybe this is just going to take some time for me personally to get over it, the fact of them winning together is just still such an oddity to me, Brent.
It is. And not only that, it doesn't even feel optically good. Like, I think they went into this, and I'm sure that it was at least an element of what they were thinking, okay? Like, we don't want to have four white queens in the Hall of Fame. Fine. So your solution is to force a deserving black queen to share it with the white bitch? That's what you want to do?
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is like some separate but equal shit. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Give, like, she and she could, I totally, if she had won, I would have been happy.
Agreed.
If Monique Hart had won, I also would have been
happy. We would have been, oh, like, my God, Twitter would have lit up RuPaul. What the fuck?
There, but, and but there would have been a completely justified reason. Like, I could have seen that happening and would have been okay with the outcome. Even if you are like a very intense Trinity stan, okay, you go buy the report card, whatever. Trinity even said in the episode, I only have one more win than these two bitches. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't really mean anything. It's not like she was miles and miles and miles ahead of the other two. So that's what just feels so weird. It feels like you're going to qualify it some way, and it makes Monet's win seem less than.
It does, too, because the thing is that, you know, as you said, like, Trinity said, oh, well, I only have one more win than the rest of these bitches. Fine. But then Monet comes in the final episode and, to my eye, wins the challenge. So now it's four, because, you know, I'm just giving it to the person who did the best. Four wins for Monet, from my perspective. Four wins for Trinity. They go into the final lip sync. I think by a hair, Monet wins that lip sync. And so you have the
by
perfect...
By a pussycat wig, Monet wins it?
Yeah. Actually, I love that lip sync. That was really great. I'm saying by hair. You know, some people could say she won. I'll just say this. Trinity did not lay down, okay? So I think Monet beat her in the final lip sync, but we can talk about it. But I think that there was... If you wanted to crown Monet, there was reason, like... I could see it. Like, okay, she got four wins. She killed it in the final. She also had a great lip sync. She had a fantastic runway. Can you imagine crowning her in that eleganza that she was in? I know they changed, but whatever. Like, come on. That would have been fantastic. And I would have been so happy for her. And I'm not, you guys can listen to the podcast, okay? The last 10 podcasts we've done. I'm not even the biggest Monet stan. I'm not. I don't. Some of the stuff she does, I don't care for. I think she can be a little much sometimes, and I don't mean in a good way. And I like my drag queens a little much, and she does sometimes bug me. But my God, she deserved to win. I mean, she really did. And there was a resume for her to win. And again, they did not give it to her outright, which just bugs the living shit out of me. And I know, like, they're gonna put on a happy face. They really are. I'm sure they're both thrilled. They both got $100,000. They both got crowns. They both get to say they're the winner. And I'm sure they would have felt bad for the other bitch if they had beaten her. So I get it, but in their heart of hearts, you know this has got to bug Monet. And I think it bugs the fans for Monet. If I was Trinity, I'd be pissed too. I'm just, again, like Liana said, so unsatisfied about this. In an effort to make everybody happy, they made no one happy. And that's just, that's the biggest defeat of them all.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. I mean, I think basically what we're all saying here is we would have loved to see Monet win or Trinity win. But for some reason, when you change that conjunction from or to and, that's where the dissatisfaction comes up, because I think it was an outcome that really was something that we didn't see coming. And look, it's been done a bit before. I know there have been stories that they shot an alternate ending at the season 6 reunion to make it a tie between Bianca Del Rio and Adore Delano, just because there was a big sort of battle going on with them and Courtney Act. But there's just something odd about this outcome that I just sort of can't wrap my mouth around, as it were, that this just completely came out of nowhere. But it's not like this exciting idea, though. I do make a prediction here. Maybe I'm putting on like my reality TV nerd badge, but I'm thinking back to like the halcyon days of the Glee project, where everyone won in that final episode, and then the very next season they came back and said, okay, we're only doing one winner. Mark my words, first episode of season All-Star season 5, RuPaul gets walked into the workroom and says, oh, and there's only going to be one winner this time. I think whatever you think about this, good or bad, this is a flash in the pan thing that I do not think is happening again. Mark my words.
I agree with that. By the way, RuPaul in October of 2016 said this, the quote, everybody gets a trophy, unquote, mentality basically says that you're going to get rewarded just for showing up. Now, obviously, this is a different thing here. You know, this is not just participation. These queens earned it. They were the top two queens of the finale. So let's give them that. But again, if a queen's going to win, queen's going to lose, queen's going to lose. Just make a decision.
They all get those Twitter head or whatever trophies. So that's like kind of a participation trophy.
Yeah, right?
Oh, boy. Well, let's get a little bit more into this episode. You know, as Brent said, I feel for the editors a bit on this one, because I even talked about this at the end of season 10, how I personally feel like you can start the season off with 90-minute episodes, especially if you have like 14, 15 queens, but at a certain point, cut it down to an hour. There's only so much you can stuff in this poor episode to bring it from 60 to 90 minutes. This definitely felt like a 60-minute episode padded out to a 90-minute one. I mean, I'm pretty sure the All-Stars 3 finale was 60 minutes, and that had so much going on in it by comparison. I only want to touch on like a couple of things before we get to the actual performances and runways themselves. I mean, one of the bright lights from this episode really was, look, Monique was touting her performances in the church plays and on the stage of her school, but she pulled out a fantastic award-winning job here when she had Monet really going for a second that she had pulled her lipstick, Liana.
Oh my God, that was so good. I was like, she's doing a Bibi Zahara Bonet. Oh no. And then, yeah, she was, that was a moment where I was like, oh my God, she did. What if she did? And I was like, oh no, she's just fucking with her. Oh, okay. Whew. That was probably my favorite moment. It was all downhill after that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And there's also a really nice moment where I didn't think this was going to happen, but I did love Monet and Monique sort of coming together, because I feel like, well, you did have Rolaska talks, you know, in the final four two seasons ago. I feel like we don't usually have, you know, a tight pair of people in the final episode of these things. And it's cool to see not only were Monique and Monet from the same season, but they're super close. And it was fun to see them sort of commiserate over the fact, like, wouldn't it have been fun if it was the top two? It would have been fun if it was the top two. But I think it's a nice little period. And it's a nice also foreshadowing moment about how I had a feeling at least one of them would be in the finals, not only from the resume basis, but because, like, one of them is going to represent this underdog story that they've been given of they just came in off their season, and now they're really going to improve themselves, Brent.
I mean, I was so here for this. Like, when they, like, you could see, you could feel the love when they were talking about, oh my God, wouldn't that be so cool if it was, it's like, I've seen this before on, you know, Big Brother and Survivor, when people are like, you know, it's going to be us at the end. And of course, most of the time they don't mean it, but occasionally you see it and you can see it in people's eyes when they do mean it. And I could tell that both of them wanted this so bad. Obviously different format, you know, they're not voting each other off anymore, but still it was so great to see. Like, and frankly, I think there's a universe where if you look at things the way you want to look at things, I think that you could have put Monique in the final two. I think you could have. I think you could have put Monique in the final two with Monet. And I would have been here for it. I don't think Trinity was really strong in this final episode. She was good, but she wasn't great. And when you're just good, I feel like you leave the door open a little bit. Probably gonna get some hate for that, but yeah, I don't feel like she was great in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, to go to the actual performance, I thought that Monique and Monet were probably my two favorites, probably because I thought that their lyrics were the best. You know, I think I have some critiques about Monet's outfit because that looked so freaking cheap. But yeah, I mean, I think you could easily justify having both of them in the final two. And Momo's just so cute, and I would have been really happy to see them there. But, you know, I'm you know, Trinity also deserved it. So it's like, I don't know who deserved it, but I could definitely see them justifying anyone except for probably Naomi, the win in the end.
We'll put a pin in that, because I actually disagree. I thought Trinity actually might have had the best lyrics, and maybe it's because this is sort of this. She's the only person who she has the benefit of experience, and this is her second time doing it. Let's take a second to focus on the Todrick choreography of it all. First, y'all pay attention to what Todrick was wearing. Like, if Nirvana basically just exploded all over Todrick. I was very confused by this outfit.
I did notice his boots. I think that's all I noticed. Was he just wearing a lot of denim?
Well, no, he was wearing, like, a gray undershirt with, like, a denim short sleeve shirt over it, but also, like, a flannel shirt because it was poking at, like, there were sleeves poking out from the shirt. I mean, he probably must have been sweating furiously underneath those lights just from standing there and criticizing them, Brent.
You know, there was a moment in time where Ross was talking about the fact that some queens have to ripen, and I feel like that Todrick also had to ripen, because back in the day, bitch, he was stiff as a board, and bitch was mean. He was mean to the queens. Finally, oh my God, he wasn't a total bitch when he was on stage working with them. He was really fun and light. And when the camera was on him for the panel, he was light. He was happy. He was just thrilled to be there. He was smiling, having a great time. He had a great natural rapport with RuPaul and the rest of the judges. I mean, where was this guy? Like, you know, I mean, like, well, I've complained about Todrick. I've been praying for Alyssa Edwards to come in and become the resident choreographer. But Todrick finally earned his bones here. And I was happy to see him.
I think there's still a little bit of me that I like see Todrick and just roll my eyes out of habit. I should be more open-minded. Thank you, Brent, for teaching me that.
Oh, yes. That's me, Liana.
That's you.
Yes.
I know. I was like, oh,
yes,
all
the most open-minded person we know.
Yes.
Yes. I'll just yell about it later. I'm so open-minded right now. So I thought it was fine. Todrick didn't stand out to me in any like super negative way. I didn't think he was being overly harsh, except for the one where he was like, aren't you supposed to take this seriously or something. He was yelling at Naomi. I was like, Naomi's like horny. Let her get hers. Okay.
That was the lone trait, the hallmark of Todrick, you know, from like season 9 through season 10, where like, Naomi was being a bit messy, but she was having fun with like the, do I know you from somewhere? And then Todrick just blowing up her game by saying the people who are not taking this seriously don't win, which I don't know. I feel like they like to take those comments as well and try to make it, you know, be center stage 2019 in terms of the way that Todrick's criticizing things. But I agree with you, Brent. It might have just been because this was also a pretty fun choreography session,
yes,
you know, between Trinity freaking out. And especially, I mean, I was cackling alongside Trinity with poor Monique trying to attempt this cartwheel. I would probably be in the same boat as she is, but just the image of her trying to throw herself over and then stopping herself. It looks so damn goofy. I loved it.
Oh, it was great. I like, it reminded me of Tamar Braxton on Big Brother, where like she throws the ball and then it's going to fall into the laser pointer and she's just screaming, you know, like just giving us such great television. Thank you, Monique. Oh my God, we love you. Like, I think she was, that was an honest effort by her to try to do a cartwheel. I've actually been there. Like I used to be able to do a cartwheel. And then like a couple years ago, I tried to do a cartwheel and I'm like, oh, that is not the same body that I used to have back in the day.
I can only do a cartwheel on one side. I tried. I was like, can I do a cartwheel on both sides? I can't.
Was that what Monique was trying to do?
I think she didn't work on one side, so she tried to do the other side, and it didn't work either. And then, look, I'm calling shade on Trinity that she said she's never done a damn cartwheel in her life, and she pulls off one like freaking
lies and deceits.
I know.
Yeah, that was. Well, what was that? No. That's like me saying I'm not a professional podcaster. Well, it's probably true in the most literal sense of the word. Like, I don't file W-2s on a daily or a yearly basis, in an effort to support myself totally. On the other hand, in the spirit of it, I feel like she's definitely been around choreography. She's won pageants. Come on. She knows how to move her body with the music.
Yeah, she's literally never done a cartwheel. I was like, okay, girl. And then she does a cartwheel. I was like, Monique has never done a cartwheel.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And the streak keeps going for Monique, it seems. Let's touch briefly on the appearances on What's the Tea. I mean, there are a couple things to note in here. First thing I want to note, sticking on the Monique train, I mean, we had obviously heard about Monique's faith and sort of where she came from in season 10, but I mean, maybe I'm calling myself ignorant here. I did not know about both. A, she was, you know, not only a participant in this Pray the Gay Away ministry, she was head of it. And B, she used to weigh 300 pounds?
I didn't know this either, Liana.
Yeah, okay. I vaguely remember her talking about being in the ministry, I think, from her original season.
Yes,
but
it
wasn't
that.
It wasn't anything nearly as, you know, she didn't go into the level of detail that she did here. I was shocked. This was the moment where I was like, oh my God, I really want Monique to win. Because I think part of being a winner is being somebody who goes out on the road and gets to represent a particular community and viewpoint. And she has such a unique viewpoint and such a story from, you know, this personal story that she told, also the like crafty queen, not having the money. This is my moment where I was like, oh, please let her win. Cause that was a crazy story.
Yeah. On the other hand, I really like Monet's podcast with Michelle and RuPaul. I thought she was authentic. Everything I wanted from a reality TV contestant, I feel like she was giving us at that time. She was so warm and cheery with RuPaul. RuPaul obviously just loves the hell out of Monet. And so I thought her podcast was the best of the bunch. On the other hand, I cannot not notice the fact that Trinity's little stint there on the podcast was like a half a minute long, and whatever she said didn't sound very interesting to begin with. I have heard through the grapevine that she couldn't get out of her pageant girl answer kind of way of doing things, and gave very,
world peace.
And yes, and gave very safe, quote unquote, safe answers. And so, like, to me, that alone shows you that she was not totally comfortable in this finale. She was not working with all cylinders here.
I wonder if it was also just the intense pressure as well. Because, again, you know, Trinity, you know, Naomi has also been to this as well. I think let's also both give them commentations that they both joined this, you know, pretty short list of queens who have made the final trice in their Drag Race career. But the fact of the matter is Trinity also sort of had her fate in her hands in season 9. I wonder if that hurts doubly so, that she let it slip out of her hands by her own doing, rather than sort of RuPaul choosing by her own logic who wins there. And so she really, I mean, the pressure is just so heavy on her that she doesn't want to screw this up again in any way, shape, or form. I did love Naomi fishing for compliments a bit. I'll call her out on it, but being like, what did you think of me in the Judy Garland lip sync? Like, I liked it because, you know, Naomi, I think, was trying to bring... She was the underdog coming in here, in my opinion. You saw it firsthand when the winners make them list out the number of wins she had. If you look at that from, again, that report card perspective, she's bringing up the bottom. But Naomi knows how to power up from the bottom. And I feel like she was really trying to work her ass off, work her legs off to try to better her position in this. Even if it meant sort of shoehorning into RuPaul, like, hey, remember that one time when you not only gave me a win, but said I handily won it?
I think maybe that's what I appreciate about Naomi, is that she knew she was coming in at a disadvantage, you know, because we talk about, oh, well, Trinity was only one ahead of the other two. Well, Naomi was three behind, you know, and if you just are looking at the report card, but it never felt like she had given up at one point in time. No, okay, yeah, you're going to fish for compliments. But that's what I appreciated about her, that she was still there. She was going to try her damnedest. And I loved her look the best in the performance. So I thought I was here for it.
I thought there was a case to be made for Naomi to win, actually, like coming into the finale. I really felt like, and I know she said, I love that little confessional where she's like, you know, so the winners come in, they're asking, you know, well, who has won the most? And they're all sitting around comparing, you know, dick size, and I'm obviously the shortest. That never happens. It's like, yes, I love you. Oh my God, that's so great. Oh, but I really thought, you know, she was so great. She was like top. She was top every episode. I really felt like what she needed to center on. Like, I'm just going to give her what do you call it when people die? Their obituary.
Eulogy.
Yes, or eulogy. Yes. I'm going to give Naomi what she should have done. She should have really concentrated on the fact that, you know what? I mean, out of one many challenges, I might have just won the one, but I was great at everything. I knew how to make sure that I was prepared and ready to go. I hardly ever ended up in the bottom. You can't say that about some of these other queens. I made sure I was in the top. I think there was a way to go where she's like, you know what? I'm a jack of all trades. I'm really good at everything. I think in order to be RuPaul's, you know, next drag superstar, you have to be good at everything. You can't just be a one niche queen or a one trick pony. I think there was an avenue for her to go, but she just didn't have the roadmap to get there.
Well, this concept of, oh my God. Okay. So this concept of, like, yeah, you have to be able to do everything at least moderately well. Like, that is Naomi. And that was Naomi on her original season too. She was able to do everything, you know, good enough to stay safe. And then towards the end, you know, she was somebody who had never been in danger. And so she was still there and was able to sort of excel, you know, into the final three. I think, you know, you want somebody who can do that, but you also need somebody who has like a thing, I don't know, something that needs to stand out a little bit more. Yes, exactly. And I think that Naomi has that from time to time. I think in person, she especially like really stands out just solely based on her stature. I mean, God, the girl is gorgeous. But, you know, is that really enough to garner her the win? But I can totally see that argument.
By the way, I do want to be spanked by Naomi Smalls. I just want to put that out there. She is so cute as a girl. And he's so hot as a boy. Like, I realize, like, you know, early 20s. And so it's like, it sounds creepy. But whatever. He's legal. Get it. It's like, back off. Don't judge.
Well, I mean, like Liana said as well, Carson said it best in, you know, the ruminations that they do as the judges before they end up eliminating the two, which I will say from those judges' critiques, it became pretty obvious.
Painfully.
who the top two were, because it felt like that Naomi and Monique were receiving more criticism than usual. Usually in these finales, they pretty much just heap never-ending praise onto these contestants.
Yes.
But Carson did say that there are so many boxes you have to check to be America's Next Drag Superstar, and Naomi checks a lot of them. We talked up her consistency and her intelligence this entire time. So I agree with you, Brent. There was an argument to make. I just think that, unfortunately, the odds were stacked against her, and that House of Cards just sort of came toppling down on her before she could take a chance to breathe and be able to collect herself and make an argument to summit that mountain.
Okay, when they started doing those critiques at the, when like real critiques at the end, I was like, what is going on? I was like, you guys are supposed to be nice. Stop.
Yeah, this really felt like the episode where you just like say nice things, like when, like the Christmas special. That's what, like, they didn't say anything negative in the Christmas special. Like, even Jasmine Masters, who had her like face covered the entire time, they still never said anything negative. And you're going to let that pass? But here you have four great queens in the finale, and they were great queens. I love Monique. I love Naomi Smalls. I was ready for any one of them to win coming into this. And then you kind of shit on them. And I was really kind of, I'm with Liana that I am very annoyed about the way they treated Monique on the way out the door. I was, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God damn it. Ross says, you know, the thing about, well, sometimes it takes queens a little while to ripen. And he's like acknowledging the fact that not only himself, but also the show didn't know what they freaking had with Monique Hart, honey. They really did not. Like, we were gagged over the fact that she was not in the top for her first episode ever when she was that Queen of Hearts great thing that she put together. And I'm sure she was, too, at the time. And she even did a confessional about it. Like, what? Like, how did this happen? And I think part of it was happening. They didn't expect her to be as good as she was. They really didn't. She was one of the cannon fodder queens. And they were just like, ah, you're there. And then they discovered, like, something great where they have something really special in her. And then, again, go to the finale here. And they're trying to give her compliments. But I'm with you. The editing made it so painfully obvious who was in the top. I didn't even need for RuPaul to announce it. Like, I was shocked when Kennedy and Trixie ended up in the final two, and that was good TV. This was not good TV. I once they started, because they didn't give any negative criticism to Monet or Trinity. Once they gave any negative criticism to Monique and also Naomi, I was like, oh, well, we know. We done been had is what's happened. Yeah.
You spoke about the winners in the workroom. I do want to speak about that briefly because, say what you want about this episode, but I at least was happy. I complained a bit last time, and Brent, you had sort of speculated that this would be happening, that the winners would be choosing the top two. Man, was I not more excited for a commercial break bait and switch than this time out when they announced that All-Stars rules are suspended permanently, and we're deciding who's going to win, and then cut back for commercial. Just kidding. You know what? I'm happier about it than I was happier to see Alaska's Team Katya umbrella, Liana.
It was like when Ricky evicted Candy. Like, oh, okay, that's over. Oh my gosh, yes, we have to talk about the fact that Alaska had the Team Katya umbrella. It's like, okay, all right, girl, I appreciate that.
Speaking of which, so I don't know if people have seen, I've mentioned this before, the reaction video of Monet and Trinity attending a watch party and finding out that they both won. Did you notice who they were crowned by?
Wait, wasn't
it? Oh, it was Katya.
It was Katya dressed as Trixie Mattel.
I thought it was Trixie.
Yeah, it was Katya painted as Trixie Mattel and dressed as Trixie Mattel. Yeah, that's funny. That's good shit, y'all. Yes, and I love the fact that they did not know. So it was like regular season where they tape multiple finale endings. They didn't tape this one, though. And so the queens were not prepared for it. So they're sitting up there watching. They're thinking, is it me or is it her? And then it's both of them. And I have somebody who was there at the finale who told us that the thing that Trinity kept asking was, oh my God, like, we both get $100,000?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, yes, yes. And she, like, it took her a while to apparently process that. So I think go ahead, Liana.
My favorite part of that whole video is Trinity just mouth open, super confused. But then once she figures out that both of them get $100,000, she's happy again.
Yeah, it takes legitimately 2 minutes. They are going through the Parent Trap-esque split screen shenanigans and then both prancing. And Trinity looks heartbroken. And it's understandable given the fact that, again, she's super ambitious and maybe she wanted to be the only person who wanted the title. Until she finds out they're both getting the 100K paycheck, and then she's like, oh, yeah, this is totally fine. Yeah, let's hug. We're totally great.
I actually haven't seen that video yet because it wasn't available when I went to bed last night. And but yeah, I saw the initial part of it, and I think that's so Trinity to me to I'm a professional. I am a professional. I'm here for the money. Give me the money. Give me the coin.
It was so good. It was so funny. And then Monet also just very much like, what? But Monet's reaction was at least to smile a little bit.
Monet's reaction is how I react to like any moments of confusion, which is just to keep talking through it. And Trinity's is the exact opposite, which she was just stunned into silence. Maybe furious silence, but it's really fun to compare their reactions because Monet's just chattering away as the show plays. And Trinity's just face crack of the freaking eon.
That was so funny.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that, you know, they knew what the endings were. So they're like, okay, they're looking for signals. Okay, which ending is it? Like, is it the one where I'm crowned or is it the one where she's crowned? And then you got this weird dub over of RuPaul, obviously done in the studio with interspliced shots of them looking excited but never together. Again, that's what I'm complaining about. It was bad TV. Bad job, RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah, I didn't even get the moment where they like triumphantly like join hands and raise their hands in triumph together on stage because it never happened. Oh my God. I can't.
Well, let's get into this final challenge and the final runway as well. We were talking about the Super Queen song. Here's a little experiment I want to try on air. So I have the VH1 YouTube video for Super Queen performance featuring Monet, Monique, Naomi, and Trinity queued up here. But I have increased the playback speed to 1.25 times speed.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
I'm going to play this, and let's see if it sounds any better. And if anyone has this podcast running ahead of one time speed, I sincerely apologize for the Alvin and the Chipmunks shit you're about to hear. But you're bad at lying it. So let's see what happens here.
Set the bar to shine her all-star.
So
and
much better.
Names, oh she's a bitch. Yeah. When they don't know what's up, prepare to soak it up. It's clear she's here and she's a savage. She popping, she dipping, she spinning. Rock star, she dropping, she flipping, she winning so hard. You better believe that the power is real. She's a super queen, never miss a beat. She's a super queen, standing on her feet. Hey, she's a super queen, turning up beat. She's a super queen, all is victory, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Yeah. So that.
That's so much better. Oh,
so
my God. It's so much better.
Mike, I'm so glad you did that. That's the problem with this whole finale. It was so slow. It's like in Ice Dance. Oh, my God. I want to talk about fucking figure skating again. It's when they're in the rhythm dance and they have to slow down to do the pattern, and all of a sudden everything slows down. It's like, no, I want this to be the regular speed. This was not the right speed. I don't understand why they chose to do this. Maybe some of the queens couldn't keep up with the tempo. I don't know. But this that was really great. Seriously, like you look back to, say what you want about All Stars 3 finale, okay? Kitty Girl, honey, I have listened to that and watched that over and over and over and over again. Like once I was done with this finale last night, I didn't even care. I didn't even care. I didn't go to iTunes. I didn't look for it. I didn't download it. I didn't look up the lyrics. I didn't care because it did not, what, entertain me. It was not fun TV. And so that's where I have a problem with this, because like season 3 finale of All Stars, Kitty Girl, you know, say what you want about the results there, but Kitty Girl was fantastic. I still know all of those lyrics to this day. It was such a great performance, and I was smiling the entire time while they were doing it. Like I remember when Trixie had like the baseball bat and smashed the camera, and then like Ben, Dayla's there, and they're walking past Milk, and there's Chi Chi, and you know it was fantastic. This was boring TV. I think it was the choice of the song wasn't great, but that did sound a lot better. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that it was too slow. Also, it was a song about being powerful and being a super queen, and then you're going to play this like slow version, which, again, it was still only 3 minutes and 30 seconds long, but it felt so much longer. I did go back. I've re-listened to it a couple times since. I don't know if it's a Stockholm syndrome. It's slightly better than when it actually aired, but at the time, it was very meh, and I think that it wasn't bad, but when you so often have songs that are good and that are fun and that you, like Brent, want to go and listen to and hear again and again, having something that meh is negative in this case.
Yeah, also the thing, just really quickly about the musical part of it, the problem to me is that the notes are descending. So, you know, like you have like a thing like Kitty Girl, it's like, you know, dun, 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 you know, hey. And it builds. Here it's like, she's a super queen. Dun, 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 dun. You know, like, it's just the notes are descending rather than ascending. It doesn't feel like there's any real resolution. It's like, it's the equivalent of a musical meh.
Yeah,
I'm here for musical composition breakdown with Brent Wolgema. Let's make that a thing in the offseason that never exists. I think one of the things that also might have contributed to the lackluster performance on this, the song itself, is that this feels like the smallest amount of bars the Queens get to write their own lyrics.
Yes.
It feels like they got maybe like 8 measures, if that. Whereas if you compare it to you know, Kitty Girl, even something like American that they got during season 10, they got like a full chunk that they can do whatever they want in them. It feels like they sort of skimped on the All-Stars this season. I don't
they
know
really
because
did.
They didn't have faith in them, or if they wanted to pump in more RuPaul of the shade. That's when they cut in the RuPaul stuff. You can tell like the noticeable change in voice. It's just maybe one of the reasons why these lyrics didn't catch, and why I feel like Trinity did a good job, is because she was able to basically cram a bunch of words into a much smaller space than previous instances.
See, I felt that way about Monique. I thought that Monique was able to put more lyrics in. And maybe that's because, as, you know, part of Trinity's lyrics, there were lots of just counting. Although, you know, I didn't think that it was like that bad. I did notice, though, the difference, though, because when Monet was doing hers, and then all of a sudden I was like, wait, that's Rue. It's over already? It's kind of how I felt. But I think Kitty Girls was also short in comparison. So maybe, I don't know, I'd have to go back and look.
Well, let's start with Monet here, and we'll talk about Monet's performance both in Super Queen and her final runway, the All-Star Eleganza look. Brent, how did you feel Monet finished here from both a performative and a fashion-based perspective?
She won. So that's how she finished. Again, I'm not a Monet stan. I'm not her biggest fan of all the RuPaul's Drag Race audience out there, but she was fantastic in this episode. And okay, so like before I get to exactly how she did, I guess the problem for me is like, well, to me she clearly won the finale. So are you judging the fact that, you know, is the finale just one aspect of everything? Is that just one aspect of her entire report card? Or are you, because if you're just looking at the finale, I feel like Monet clearly deserved to win. And if you didn't know that by the challenge, I think you definitely knew that by the lip sync at the end. Okay, so her performance in the Super Queen, I thought it was the best of the four from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I thought she moved great. I didn't think her choreography was particularly difficult. I know that Todrick gave her some stuff to do, but to me, in comparison to some of the choreography that the other queens had, it looked a little simple. But she took it and ran with it and put her own little special, you know, swing into it. It looked really great. It read well on television. I also note the fact that she did not have a wig on, not even a Kitty Girl wig. It was like some jeweled, like, head covering or something.
It was a crown of thorns.
It was really fantastic because when, you know, you look at somebody like Monique, where it's all about the hairography, and here with Monet, it's all about what? It's about her face. It's about her body. It's about what's up front, the moneymaker, honey. And I was looking at that the entire time. I thought the outfit read strong. It looked, I don't want to say it looked expensive, but it didn't look cheap to me. I think, Liana, were you the one who was saying you thought this
looked
cheap?
Yeah, it looked cheap.
See, I liked it. I thought it looked great. No. But, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from if you think maybe it looks a little costumey. But overall, I thought she did a really fantastic job, but my God, her runway, bitch. I thought she's never looked better. I loved this, and not just for nothing, but I appreciate the fact that she, Monet, has a distinct point of view. It's like the old Project Runway rules. Who is this? Where are they going? What are you trying to say with this? Do you have a point of view? Because if you have a point of view, then I can get on board with what you're doing. And I really do feel like she does. She is, I don't know how to say this, but she's here for the, as my friend Maddie Rance would say on YouTube, she's here for the culture of it all. You know, she wants to represent where black queens have been and where they are going. And I love this fabric on her, the color. I love the fact that she did those braids. I love the fact that she did modernize it a little bit by using the blonde braids instead of more natural braids. I think there's an argument to be made by some people that, you know, if you really wanted to go and represent Africa better and in a natural black woman, then why are you using obviously colored hair? But, you know, a bitch gets to color her hair if she wants to. I thought it looked fantastic. I mean, this to me said, I know what my point of view is. I know what I'm trying to say. It's not boring. The makeup was done great. I couldn't see her hairline at all. It just looked wonderful. I love the color on her too. It was so rich and it could have felt busy on somebody else, but to me it looked wonderful here, and I was so happy for her. I mean, like, she just looks great.
Yeah, I 100% co-sign your feelings about the runway look. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. I really loved it. And it was so nice. You know, I know that we say the bar isn't low for Monet, but I think that even if this is on another queen, well, I don't know if they would have put it together the same way, but I think given even the bar of Monet, this was still, like, really great and really nice to see.
And she walked like a lady, by the way. Did you notice that? Like, sure, her walk was better. I was really pleased with that.
She practiced.
Yeah.
but I thought her performance was one of the best in the video, but I really hated her outfit.
You hated the outfit. Mm. All right.
I thought that Monet and Trinity were the only two that actually looked like freaking superheroes. I don't know if that was the point of the video, but it felt like those two would like were wearing stuff right out of the comics. So maybe it did seem a bit vintage and therefore cheap by your standards, Leon. I mean, I totally agree about her performance. She, and this will carry over into lip sync as well. She just has a way of selling a lyric. Like, you can see it in her eyes. It's almost indescribable. Like, she's just, and she was totally good with the choreography. It just felt like a natural extension of her body every time she was moving. She sold that attitude that Todrick was talking about like, you're throwing lightning bolts across the stage. And she just absolutely owned it. I'm glad that they went, you know, alphabetically, because she started it off on a really great note. She was able to pull out the sponge reference, a nice bookend to the season. I did love Michelle vocalizing what we said as well and saying, like, she started off with the sponge thing in the beginning of the season, and I was like, is this all she's gonna do?
Right? Yeah.
And I thought that, I mean, her runway, this, that, like, that dark purple look was so regal. She talks about, you know, the black opulence of it all. And yeah, this was a, you know, between, like, the dashiki that she wears in the workroom and this, she's all about highlighting her culture, and that's a really cool opportunity, because I think her and Monique talk about in this episode how they really want to represent, you know, queens of color that are a huge part and have always been a part of the drag community.
And who often get shit on by the fan base out there. So, yes, mm-hmm. I was here for that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, sometimes when it comes to this competition, you really need to leave a great lasting impression. And I think that Monet just did an incredible job, despite having to end up in the bottom sort of by default last episode. She completely redeems herself and puts out, in my opinion, totally agree that while her runway outfit might have been just my second favorite, I think overall she, quote unquote, wins this challenge and just shows how much of a natural performer she is. She talked up before about, you know, I wrote lyrics for this song that got a million downloads on iTunes. She has actually just recently released another song called Unapologetically. I encourage you to all check it out. It's a super interesting, like, visual EP of it all. But yes. I mean, she's a songwriter and she's damn good at it. So this was her challenge. And I give her all the credit in the world for it.
And she can sing.
Yeah, somewhere Latrice Royale is shook because she was like, I don't want a queen to win this season who's all about, you know, her newest record or selling some t-shirts or some stupid music video or something. I'm so glad, by the way, that Trinity decided to eliminate Latrice, because I swear to God, with Latrice in the finale, y'all, it might have been a triple crowning. It really might have been.
Oh my God. I love that both, yeah, Trinity also released a bunch of merch too.
So yes!
It's a big old F you to Latrice.
Yes, yeah, and she released a song on Thursday featuring Peppermint called I Call Shade.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, yeah, yes. I love that phrase. I call shade. I've totally stolen that in my videos now.
But well, let's talk about Monique here, who ends up.
Can I start? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Because I said something earlier. I'm like, you know, I thought there was a there's an argument to be made for Monique Hart to be in the final two. I think that because this wasn't the strongest that I've ever seen Trinity. I was totally lying. I forgot how much I hated these looks. There's no way you could have put Monique in the final two. I mean, she's freaking great. I love her. She was fantastic as a performer, and that's about the best I can say. And I'll say this. The hair was a choice in the runway. Mm. I didn't care for that one. The Super Queen video, though, I lived for it because she was living for herself. You know, she had that shit glued down and she wanted to whip it this way and that way. She was giving us like Cameron Michaels times 10. She was here for it. I was here for it. I was ready to go. But no, the look in the finale for the Super Queen video, all black. I didn't like it. Again, she looked more like a villain than a hero. That's to me how she was coming off, almost like a Spider-Woman in a way, or Catwoman. It just didn't read Super Queen. But even if you ignore that, I still felt like overall it didn't highlight her in a way that was possible. And same thing with the Eleganza on the runway. It was all black again. Like, Monique, why you gotta be black? Like, what's with this? You're such a colorful queen, and you chose all black again, to the point where there's so many little nice details on your runway, but we couldn't see them because even like with the black, there weren't even different shades of black. There was just a lot of stuff I was missing. I felt like it actually made her look a little. It made her look a little heavy on the runway. I know they gave her props for looking great, but I felt. You always say wear black to look slimming, but no, I thought it actually added a few pounds to her, and I didn't like the gloves either. So not a lot to say, except that the makeup did look good.
I definitely was not crazy about the runway look. I concur, because it felt like the gloves were the same as those purple gloves that were like too big for her. So the gloves felt a little too big.
She really likes gloves. Between that thing and remember when she was wearing the big old alien hands during the club stuff?
Yeah. Accessorize the hands, girl.
Yeah, she probably got man hands. That's what she got.
Maybe. That's possible. So I wasn't crazy about that, but I actually didn't mind her look in the video because that's what Shangela wore in the Kitty Girl video. That's what Katya wore.
Monique could never what Shangela did. Okay, never mind.
They look, go look, bitch, go look. Anyway, but I get that it wasn't superhero themed, so maybe from that perspective you could clock her. I actually liked her lyrics personally the best, so I thought that it was fun, but it definitely felt very underwhelming. It felt like she faded into the background, probably because of the outfit choices, and also with the fog and the weird way that the video was filmed, and she just faded into the fan in the background, so she didn't really stand out, but once I rewatched it several times, I liked hers more and more each time.
Yeah, I can see. I'm sorry, Mike. I just looked at this image that Liana is talking about with Shangela in the Kitty Girl outfit. I mean, to me, like, Shangela's reads a little bit stronger because there's no cape. And, like, Monique has the cape, which I know you think, well, capes go with superheroes, but she was just kind of, it wasn't a strong cape. It was just, like, flowing around her like she was on a runway or something. I'm like, you're supposed to be performing the challenge. And I feel like she got lost in it. So I didn't care for it.
She reminded me of Asia O'Hara in I Am American. Okay. That's what I thought. And maybe it was just because they both went second. But like her movement and the way that she performed sort of reminded me of that. Like it was a little demure and didn't like completely pop in the same way.
It didn't benefit from the fact that I think she had the most times when she had to like walk forward to the camera and then turn around and run back. There's a lot of shots at the back of Monique's big red wig, which I think probably did not necessarily help her. I really liked the lyrics and the musicality of it. The like when she walks in into the club, grab the mic, da 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 da. I am so happy that both Monet and Monique got the opportunity to sing, considering the number of times they got to do it as well over the course of the season. Maybe Naomi shouldn't have sung. Maybe we'll talk about that coming up next. But I thought that I think Monet sold it more, but I think Monique was able to at least live in her lyrics, which I think is what you're talking about, Liana. And she had that capography as you're talking about, Brent, or at least those big hanging sleeves. She was just tossing all over the place like they were silks. The runway itself, I mean, yeah, I think it's just speaking towards if she doesn't like wearing faces on her body, she likes putting stuff on her hands. Though I do agree that it wasn't the best final look. We've seen queens crowned in stuff that have not been their best look. So I won't shade her too much. I think that, you know, Monique, and I will say, if we're talking about like the pleas as well, I think Monique had by far the best one in terms of getting super emotional and showing that, as the judges say, she is the heart of All Stars 4 by talking about, you know, I forget what she says, something along the lines of like, I came with nothing and I created something.
Yes, she did.
It was very reminiscent to me of like Katya talking during All Stars 2 when she got really emotional as well about how much this experience meant to her.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to, I don't know if you want to talk about the, when RuPaul asked them, you know, why you should win. I thought Monet and Monique had the best answers. I thought Naomi's was freaking terrible. I thought Trinity's was a little pageanty. It was okay. It was like the base minimum of what I would expect from her. But I thought Monique and Monet both were so authentic, so true to themselves when they talked about it. You could tell that they wanted it, that they would do right by RuPaul, that this means so much to them. And, like, you want to give it to somebody who is able to convey that, because when you're able to open yourself up like that, I feel like the fans can then embrace you because of that, and you embrace them. So I enjoyed that Monique does wear her heart on her sleeve.
I thought that the runway pleas were very similar to the podcasts for me.
Yeah, that's true.
And how I felt about it. Yes. The Trinity's, yeah, it was very pageantry. Naomi's was just Naomi. And then Monique and Monet were definitely my favorite of the two.
All right. Well, let's talk about Naomi here, both in her Super Queen performance and her padded in more ways than one look on the runway. Liana, what'd you think about Naomi as she finishes off the season?
I really liked her runway look.
Yes, I
thought that it was fun and
yes,
it was so gorgeous and looked so pretty. So that was really nice to see. I know, Brent, that you said that Naomi's wasn't very superhero-y in the actual video itself, but I really loved her latex look and with the whole, you know, the whole body look of it all. I think the thing that I didn't like was her lyrics, because they were pretty terrible.
Yeah, she Naomi gets the Bibi Zahara Benet official award for this season of like either most nonsensical lyrics or most like, I don't know, worst lyrics, I would say. Worst, so bad they're good lyrics of the season.
What's the word I'm looking for? Worst lyrics. Yeah.
It's like legs up in the sky, you'll see, limbs pumped like Kylie. Not an elastic bitch, but damn, those thighs really do stretch. Pose, serve, now work, give me body, yeah, no curves.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's, she just needed, like, could you, like, girl, you're trying to grow here. You like, we know all that. And I think, here's the thing. I think that she's in a little bit of a rough spot because they obviously didn't have a lot of bars, okay? So they didn't have, like, 16 sentences to do, a couple verses or something like Peppermint had during Category Is. But I do think she could have conveyed what she was in a way that reads less superficial. Like, there could have been a way to tie that into how she feels about herself, how she feels about Drag Race as a whole, what she can give to the fans. I just didn't feel like she was able to bridge that gap. She needed, like, Rob has a PR firm, okay, to help her with her podcast and her lyrics and her final pleas. Because I'm with Liana, that runway at the end was fabulous. I loved it. Actually, I preferred it before she did the reveal. I actually enjoyed it when she was coming down the runway. Those colors, the purple and the iridescence of it all with the jewels and that hat and the makeup is done to the gods. Like, everything about it reads perfection on the runway. Bitch knows how to work a runway. Again, I don't need to see her legs for the 5,000th time, so I didn't need the reveal. I appreciate the reveal because it shows she really, you know, she's really trying to up her game, so that's cool. The performance of Super Queen, though, I take your point, Liana, that it was okay, the latex that she was wearing, but it read more bike, more motocross to me than it did
like the Monet look from the Boots the House Down challenge.
Yeah, it was like something where you tried to shoehorn it into superhero, but no, I wasn't buying that it was superhero. Also, her padding to me was a little suspect. I felt like she was trying to get away with very little padding or possibly no padding, and she came off looking a little stick-ish in that performance of Super Queen. Not, I she needed a little bit more hips and thighs, and she need a little more junk, a little more junk in the trunk. You know what I'm saying?
She said in the lyrics, Brent, give me body, no curves.
Well, I know, but you really want to accentuate that? I guess. Maybe she wrote those lyrics, and she's like, okay, I can't pad as much because of that. But she's looked better padded than this in the past.
Well, to go to her lyrics, if you're going to only have, you know, a certain number of bars, you really have to be choice with what you are going to sing. And to spend essentially half of it just listing some words is probably not the right choice.
Especially since it's words that, I mean, Michelle will say that, you know, it comes off a bit derivative because it's what we've heard from her before. And it's interesting because Naomi, I think in her initial approach, had said in the workroom, like, I want to go something with something comedic and something that also speaks to who I am. And maybe as she talks about with Rue, like, that relatability distances you yourself from the comedic potential. Because I would not say these lyrics were necessarily funny in the way they were meant to be.
No, they weren't. I think that she has a little bit of a problem conveying herself there. Because to me, she is one of the most authentic queens. Like, when I see her in confessional, she's the one who's giving us the reality of the situation. I feel like she's not giving us anything pageanty at all. She's giving us the real tea. She, remember, this is the bitch that eliminated Manila. Like, I know she didn't own her shit as much as I wanted her to, but she basically kind of did in the finale when she was like, and they were talking about the fact I'm still mad at her for eliminating Manila. So I feel like she's there. It's just maybe it needs a little bit more time, or maybe she just doesn't have it. You either got it or you don't. I'm a big believer in that.
I love this runway, though. For me, what really cinched it was the gaucho hat, you know,
yes.
Like the 45-degree tipped hat. It was so, so good, and I just loved, I don't know, the purple coloring under these lights on the runway just come off so beautiful. And yeah, I could understand this is RuPaul's reveal race. I don't know if we needed to have that reveal where she takes off the train, but I did like at least the comedy of her dragging the train behind her, at least to have Rue say she's taking the train home.
It looked so expensive, Liana. Seriously. And I know I say seriously a lot, but my God, seriously, this was fantastic. It looked like it, I don't know, it had been made like for a couple $1,000s. It looked high end. It looked expensive. I wanted to wear it. I wanted to be her. I just said strength and a definite point of view. Again, this was her best moment of the finale.
Yeah, and I agree about the fact that it probably didn't need the reveal. Like, it was better without the skirt still on.
Yeah.
But I was fine with it. I wasn't mad about another, like, there was another reveal that pissed me off, but that's fine. We'll talk about that later.
Well, let's get to our other winner here in Trinity. Brent, what did you think about Trinity's Super Queen performance as well as her titillating look on the runway?
I will echo what the judges said, which was I thought her performance was pretty great. I loved her outfit. It was very costumey, but a little more like Space Queen, when Mars attacks kind of thing. That's the vibe I was getting from it. So maybe not as Super Queen as we would like, but it's in that universe, so I can give it to her. I'm like, if I'm going to give it to Naomi for her motocross thing that was masquerading as Super Queen, then I can give it to Trinity. But I will echo what the judges said in that it did seem like she was thinking about what she was going to do during the performance. I thought her lyrics were actually okay. I know some people were really on board with her lyrics, but I thought they were just, like, again, I have high expectations for Trinity, so I didn't think they were any great shakes, but she didn't perform them as well as I think she could have. She was worried about making sure she hit all her spots. You know, she did everything to the best of her ability, and I don't think she made any mistakes, but I did. It was like one of those things where you can see someone's brain working. Like, when someone asks you on Big Brother or Survivor, hey, do you want to be in an alliance with me? The answer is yes. The answer is not sit there and think about it for 30 seconds. And I did feel like that Trinity was not giving us the yes. She was sitting there like, okay, what do I do next? What do I do next? Yeah, okay. That kind of, like, and she got there, but it was about the journey for her that was lacking, not necessarily the execution.
Yeah, I definitely thought that her lyrics were fine. There was nothing that really stood out that was like, oh, okay, wow, this is so good. But there was nothing that was bad, like, you know, my name is Trinity and can't you see? I got a lot of plastic parts.
I like that one better.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so bad, it's good.
All right.
And then in terms of her look, I actually liked her look, except I thought that the headpiece looked a little cheap. The boots were cool, except it would have been great if we could have seen them through all of the smoke and stuff.
<Good luck. laughs>
But I totally see that she looks like she's thinking, and it looks like the wheels are turning, and that is really frustrating. And it helps, or it prevents you from really getting into a performance or really feeling it in the same way. Her runway look, though, oh my gosh, I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. I thought she looked amazing on the runway.
Well, no wonder why her lyrics had counting in it. She was counting in her head of like, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then step here and step five. she was able to kill two birds with one stone there. I don't know. Maybe it's because, again, it was a bit of a low bar to clear during category is, but, you know, at least these lyrics were fun. Maybe it's because she went right after Naomi that it just felt like more of a direct improvement, but she was talking about herself. She was playful with it. So I'll give her credit there. And, you know, she did get, as Tyler said, maybe the most complicated choreography when it came to her actual lyrics. Once they hit the chorus, she was doing just a lot of capography. It seemed, I don't know how much footwork was going on. As Liana said, the smoke obscured the lower third of the screen, but oh my God, this look. I mean, I think we'll talk later about, you know, overall thoughts on the seasons and maybe some looks that happened in there. But this will definitely hit my Mount Rushmore for this season just because, I mean, it's so the patterning I'm obsessed with. And I love the shape of it. I mean, obviously, probably cost an arm and a leg and several teacups. But I mean, this is a finale look. This is like a stop everything. You need to look at this. I mean, it's tough to say. I don't know if I agree with Michelle. This is one of the best Drag Race looks ever, but of the season, absolutely.
Yeah, of the season, I can definitely co-sign that. I don't know if I would say ever. It was pretty fantastic, though. This read to me like finale. This also read to me like I married my billionaire 82-year-old husband, and he just dropped dead, and now I'm going to get to fuck some boys and live my life dripping in diamonds. Like, that's how it felt to me, and I love that about her. I love the reveal, too, where she had that over the teacups, and then she whipped it out. You know, not like that, but she whipped out her teacups, and I thought her makeup and her hair looked wonderful. My only criticism was I do feel like that perhaps it washed her out a little bit on the stage. Maybe that's just the particular shade of blue with those lights. So I didn't love that, but everything else was really fantastic, and so I don't want to nitpick about it.
I was just stunned by it, and I think it's a good representation of how, as the judges talk about, I mean, if you talk about Trinity's consistency, the runways especially, she has brought consistently interesting looks every week. There weren't many weeks this season where I'm like, yeah, Trinity's wearing something, it's fine. Like, everything, as Carson says in this episode, like, the best fashion tells a story, and it feels like Trinity is telling some sort of point of view, no matter what it may be, every time she comes out, or whatever object she's sort of embodying, and that's what I really appreciate about her aesthetic.
Yeah, she's so good at everything. Go ahead, Liana. Sorry.
That is what I will say. When they were doing sort of the flashbacks of all of the runway looks, Trinity's was the one that stood out to me. It was like, wow, she's had a lot of really cool, really,
really
neat
cool
looks.
From
the swerves and curves, the one where she looked like she was gum. Like, those were all really cool.
Yeah.
And it made me appreciate her
even like
so much more.
The Best Judy makeover with her boyfriend, I thought was really fantastic. I think that I said that looked expensive to me more than anything. Her nightclub look with like the yellow and the blue hair and the patterning of the skirt went all the way down to her pantyhose and into her shoes. Like, it went all the way down. That was such a great look. I'm just looking at everything else that she did.
The curves and swerves one
was
really great.
That was blown
between
out.
Like, she obviously accentuated her own curves, but the actual curves in the fabric with the sculpted hair. I would say maybe the lone misstep was the Lollapalooza thing where she wore a big old smock just to do that reveal later on.
Yeah, that was so dumb. Ugh, oh my God. And then the final lip sync. I know I'm getting a little bit of ahead of myself, but
let's move on to the final lip sync because there's not much in between that.
Okay.
Okay, so for the final lip sync, when Trinity comes out and she's got that little skirt on over what is clearly a very tight, like, onesie outfit, I was like, God damn it. Trinity, I know there's going to be a reveal because you have to show off your tuck because that's your thing and that's fine. But it was just like a really in this season of lackluster reveals. I was so mad because I knew it was going to happen. And I just spent the whole time sitting there just fuming, wondering when it was going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's the thing about reveals is that you want them to like it's OK sometimes if we know a reveal is going to come. Like I get that that's part of the gag and sometimes it's impossible to hide it. But if you're going to go that way, it has to be really fantastic, like in a way that we don't expect. Or there needs to be a second reveal beyond that that we are not expecting. A reveal is not fun if we can see it coming. If you're just wearing something and then we know you're going to take it off, you know you're going to take it off, that's not a reveal. Like, we don't care about stuff like that. Monet, on the other hand, for this final lip sync, I thought she was fantastic. Again, I think she beat Trinity here. Trinity was great, but I do feel like that a lot of the moves that Trinity did, I've seen them before from her.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Monet was repeating stuff here. And I've seen Monet lip sync a few times. I really feel like she has a special talent when it comes to lip syncing and has an insane ability to make the lyrics appropriate to what she's thinking and how she's going to convey it to the audience, even in a fun way, a sexy way, but never in a way where I'm getting the feeling that she doesn't care. I think she cares a ton. She wants to kill her during this lip sync, and she's annoyed when it reads as if she's annoyed when other queens try to one-up her because she's like, bitch, I'm the best at this. Why are you playing?
Yeah, well, let's talk about this. So first off, the song Fighter by Christina Aguilera, I would say miles of improvement above I Love Miley Cyrus. She's going to be the guest judge for the season 11 opener. But Wrecking Ball was not the best way to end All Stars 3. This is up-tempo, it's energetic, and it's got some oomph behind it that really helps you exude the passion that I want to freaking win this. That being said, I totally agree that Monet won this. I think that I think that Trinity had some, I mean, she was throwing herself around the stage. It's clear that she wanted this, but Brent, I totally agree with you. I think it was an unfortunate externality that this is the fifth time, sixth if you count the Lollapalooza, that we've seen Trinity lip sync this season. She's lip synced in more than half the episodes this season. Eventually, you're going to see the same stuff over and over again. And so you sort of expected, okay, Trinity will throw herself down to the ground. You know, it looked like she tried to do a cartwheel again and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, that was not good. That was the Monique Hart levels of cartwheel badness there. I didn't know. By the way, Monet has lip synced, I would say six times probably, because I know she won three lip syncs on her original season before she was eventually eliminated, and the elimination has got to count, so that's four. And then she's lip synced at least twice, maybe three times, four times. I don't know if you guys are listening to me out there. I don't know if you two agree. I still don't feel like Monet repeats. I mean, there are elements to it, like she did the death drop or the split. Yeah, but everybody kind of does that. I mean, that's not iconic to her. I just think she has a way that she's able to not repeat her facial mannerisms, and she doesn't do a ton with her body. It's more about her face, so I guess I'm into that more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were some things that, you know, I'm starting to see repeated with Monet, but I don't think that it stood out in the same way that it did for Trinity. Yeah. And like I said, I was just very preoccupied about her stupid reveal that I knew was going to happen. but when I rewatched it, I definitely came down on the side of Monet deserves to win this lip sync. I thought that she did a better job and, you know, totally on board with Fighter being the right choice. It was just such a good song to see both of them perform to. But I really think that Monet pulled it out in the end.
And say what you want to about, you know, maybe Monet doing the jump splits like she did before, but for me, moment of the lip sync, when on that punctuated beat where she's holding out that note, she rips off her wig to reveal a fucking pussycat wig, and the fact that she got crowned wearing for it is the biggest, like, middle finger hug at the same time to the judges, and I fucking love it. And she did it with passion, she did it with energy, and she did it on this really comedic note where she's holding out this note but she's like unctuating her lips to mimic Christina's riffing. It's just, and then she had some more comedic stuff in there where she like licks her fingers to warm herself up, and then she sort of does a nice little cross eye thing with the other riffing that she does. I think Monet's performance just had this great mix of like stunts and, you know, very on the beat moments with some comedy in there. Yeah. I think again she ended on such such a strong note. And not to say that Trinity didn't either, but Trinity has been holding that tune the entire time. Monet really picked up the ball here and ran it all the way to the end, in my opinion.
Yes, that reveal. See, we didn't see that coming. We did not know that that was coming. I mean, who thinks of doing that? Who thinks of wearing a kitty girl wig on the runway only to reveal another kitty girl wig? That was like, who does that? That was so great to see, and it's such a big middle finger at everybody, including myself, who got on her about the fact that she's wearing kitty girls. By the way, I want to point out that, again, we love the finale and the runway. I'm happy that it wasn't a bodysuit. It wasn't a cat suit. It was an actual gown. So let's give it up. Like, she listens. I love the fact she takes criticism. She's not defensive like Monique Hart about it. And she wants to improve herself. I think that she can be a little bitchy at times. But I feel like in order to be successful, you have to have a little bit of that to you. So that's okay.
All right. So we talked, obviously, about the shock that came with this double crowning. I want to start to move to some overall thoughts about the season. Let's go back to this metric that we've been using the entire season as to, with these final four queens, has their stock risen, fallen, or stayed the same when it came to their place in the Drag Race community? And in an effort to sort of paint wide here, I'm going to say that I think all four of them had their stocks rise here. Considering that coming in, Monique was known for the person who had a pretty disastrous boot episode between the snatch game, throwing her wig off, and that cartwheel heard around the world. Naomi being known as that queen who just happened to be in the finals against Bob and Kim Chi. Trinity being known as like, okay, you know, she did well in season 9, but can she, you know, she's just a prissy pageant person. Can she do anything besides turn looks? And Monet is someone who was, you know, funny and won many challenges, did pretty well, but the runway usually was not great. They all came in, all redeemed themselves, in my opinion. That's one reason why I really love this top four. So it's thumbs up all the way down for me. Liana, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I think for all of them, definitely their stock went up. I think some maybe up more than others. But I think, you know, Naomi still, even though she had her a lower, you know, report card, I guess, than the other three. I think she still came in and showed how consistent she was. And the fact that she can come in and do some really amazing looks. And on top of it, had some really fun performances. And she was safe the whole way. And that's nothing to sneeze at. So it was really nice to see her do that. I think Monique and Monet had a sort of similar problems of coming in a little rough and then were able to really show something so polished. I mean, they both were in the top three times. That's crazy. And I think Monique Hart, especially for me, really stands out because she's somebody who, you know, not going to lie, going into this season, I was putting her as right after the cannon fodder. She's the next one to go. She surprised me by winning so many challenges. And really, I have to give it up to her. Like, I was so impressed. And Trinity, oh my God, what a professional. What a mother tuckin' professional she is. I mean, really, I was just blown away how consistently she was. And it was that montage of those final runway looks. I was like, girl can turn a look. So I think hats off to everybody, including Naomi's gorgeous little, I don't know what you want to call it, the little Gestapo hat or whatever.
Gaucho, please don't say Gestapo hat.
So amazing. And this, you know, I know that this season kind of leaves a bad taste in our mouths based on the finale, but really, I mean, these queens did an amazing job and it's so nice to see.
Do you agree, Brent?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's all about what are the expectations for you coming into this season. I agree with Liana that for Monique Hart, after the cannon fodder queens, I thought she was next to go, and she, by God, exceeded expectations that even I had for her. And I love her. I love the fact that she was able to redeem herself from her original season where she didn't know the words, where her wig came off. Yeah, her wig came off once this season too. But it became a fun thing where it's like, you know, wigs are repelled by her head. And then at the end of it, she's finally doing hairography and whipping her hair around to the point where, you know, like I feel secure with her wig now. I don't worry about it anymore. I feel like she's finally got it under control. I just love the fact that she was able to come in to a season, as Liana said, and, you know, maybe a little rough coming in, didn't get a lot of feedback from the fan base, came right into an all-star season and really slayed the competition. She should be so proud of herself. I know she's probably kicking herself. You know, I was like third place. Let's be honest, she was third place. She was clearly third place and Naomi was fourth place. But God damn, she did such a great job. I really feel great for her. I don't want to belabor that point a lot. I want to say about Monet that I have never been the biggest fan of her, but I am now. She's just so great. It's impossible. I defy you to listen to her conversation with RuPaul and Michelle and not come away saying, you know, I love Monet exchange, because she's so warm and so inviting. And she's so true to herself. And I appreciate mm-hmm. that so much. Again, exceeded expectations. I didn't love her runways in her original season. And she herself talked about how many problems she had with them. But there have been gag-worthy moments with her. Not a ton, but some on the runway this season. And she never really laid an egg to me like she did the last time. With Trinity, I think she probably, look, I'm going to be real. I knew she was an amazing bitch. I've seen the original Entertainment of the Year pageant when she was competing against Eureka, and I think beat Eureka in that pageant. She's a professional, and I knew it, and I loved her on her original season. I thought she could have won her original season. If she gets that nod over Peppermint in that lip sync, and it was close, by God, I think she could have possibly won at the end against Sasha Velour, but she didn't. She came in here. She met expectations that I thought she had, and then she even managed to exceed them. And then Naomi Smalls is probably the biggest surprise for me, because I was not a fan of her. I was like, literally go back to the first podcast we did about our preview of All Stars 4, and I was like, why is she here? Why is she here? I've seen her. She's been to the finale before. I've seen everything. No, I was wrong. Bitch, I was wrong. She had so much more to show us. Now, again, part of it was a little bit repetitive. There was a little bit too much leg. I would have liked more performance from her. But, like, her snatch game performance to me, I didn't think she was capable of doing that. And there have been so many gag-worthy moments on the runway where I know that she is capable of gagging me on the runway, and she still does it. Like, that is hard to do when people's bar for you on the runway is set really high, and she just passed with flying colors.
Let's talk about this season. There were a few categories. I would love to start by talking about, let's take it to the runway. Liana, talk to me about some of the looks that stood out to you over the course of All Stars 4.
Okay, well, the first look that absolutely stands out to me was Manila Luzon's elegance, extravaganza, whatnot, whatever you want to call it. That was the immediate first thing that popped into my head. To me, that is hands down the best look of the entire season.
On a week where she was safe and didn't have to do anything.
A week where she was in the bottom three, and I don't think she would have been in the bottom two, because it was very clear who would have been in the bottom there. But if there was any consideration to put her in the bottom there with that girl group thing, she absolutely saved herself with this look. It was.
Which one are we talking about? Sorry, I thought you were talking about the spaghetti straps.
This was the Henny girl group episode.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Lala Perusa, the spaghetti strap dress.
The elegance one.
Oh, the elegance one. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I heard elegance.
The one that's like silver.
Okay. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, the one that gagged us all. Yeah, the one where we're like, oh my god. Like, I didn't think she was capable of doing that.
She doesn't even look like her. Like, I'm looking at a picture right now. It's, oh my gosh, just, it's amazing. It's truly amazing.
It is. Especially when she's next to the Henny look, where she
looks
like,
horrible.
Like, she looks like a lesbian tennis player. Oh my god. And she looks like so fishy in the one on the right. Oh my god, I'm gonna get mail for that too. Whatever, I don't care.
Another look, I mean, I have to say Latrice's anal bead look. Like, that was just so gorgeous.
We're here for the anal beads. Yes.
Yes. And then another one that stood out to me was Monet's angelic white look.
Yeah.
Because I just thought with the Pope hat, that was so, so pretty. And the detail was just exquisite on both the bodice and her, like, shawl covering thing. Just looked really amazing. And then I'm going to go back to that montage of Trinity's runway looks, because that's what I want to put in my favorite looks. That whole montage, because I thought she looked stunning.
I think that I'd probably add on to, I totally co-sign those. I'd add on to the list the spaghetti look during Lala Perusa Eleganza. The point there, Manila has made a doll out of it, is definitely saying something, and speaks again to just her overall aesthetic, which is, you know, this campy couture, as she puts it. I'm still obsessed with Monique's Puss in Boots look from last week in that it just was so fun, and it looked, I don't know, it was like from the Nina Bonina Brown school of like sort of living in both fantasy and reality. And as I spoke about, I'm going to do my last minute edition. I'll add Trinity's teacup look on that as well. I think that it's just so perfectly sculpted and gorgeous and a fantastic way to end the season. Brent, did you have any other ones that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of the ones that really gagged me. Monet exchange, her finale look, that African opulence, I thought was absolutely fantastic, and the hair really just elevated it to a new level for me. I still love Naomi Smalls, and most of what she does on The Runaway really makes me very happy. But her plastique fantastique look with the circles, they almost look like records. I'm sure it weighed a ton, but it was very colorful and very fun to me. I'm sure it's not going to make anybody's best, you know, top 10 list, but I thought it was a really great, fun, costumey drag look. Like when you go to a club and you see a bitch wear something like this and she's got legs up to here and she's giving you face, like everything about that just was fantastic for me. As I talked about before, the Lollapalooza look of Manila Luzon when she's wearing the spaghetti outfit with the meatballs coming out of her bosom and like the sauce coming down at the end with the fork and the hat, which was like a plate. And she was safe that week. Oh, that was just, oh, that warms my heart. I love seeing drag like that. And like, I like drag when it's fun or you have to gag me. One of the two. Gag me or be fun. That works in sex as well, by the way.
Yeah. Rule in the bedroom also. I think that actually Naomi's the Prince look was so cool. The Sonny and Cher look was so cool. I actually wasn't crazy about the plastic look in terms of some of her other ones, but the pie look when the Pata for the Gods.
The Curves and Swerves one. I love the pie with her, the burnt pie with her crying. I also loved, say what you want to about the brown cow stunning of it all, but Monique's Curves and Swerves look still defies all laws of physics, in my opinion. And I remember talking this week about like, that's what this, it's supposed to be over the top, you know, cough, cough, Latrice. You know, the fact that, again, she had to like basically rubber band her legs together in order to fit it in that small ass little strip to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Curves and Swerves. I'm looking at Monique's look, and then I'm looking at Latrice's look. Latrice is just like in a regular gown, like that she's worn like 20 times before. Monique Hart's out there. Like, I put this in my top 10, but my God, I can't with that makeup. Oh my God. It looks like she's been grayed over or something. Like, no. I know it's part of the lighting, but it just doesn't look good for me. But the outfit itself, I'm with you, Mike. It defies the laws of physics. That's pretty amazing. And look at her legs. Like, how did she get them like that? Are they one in front of the other? We need Rob has a detective to get on this and find out how is this possible.
I also I want to give a shout out to a few Valentina looks as well. Certainly not to be forgotten, Miss Living in Her Own Fantasy. I really liked her plastique fantastique, the Miss Venezuela Barbie look, even if it didn't look good on Michelle Visage. And I loved her Selena look from the Henny Challenge. Like, just that that red that she rocked. I mean, it really was her best episode, and she looked so fierce on that.
Yes, the Henny look. Totally, I agree. Love that one. Actually, I was a big fan of the Boots the House Down look. I said it at the time. Like, this was what it looked to me like with the hair and the makeup. And the fact that the outfit sort of goes into her shoes and completely covers her shoes, this looked so expensive. This is the one where she had the, what do you call it when it's like pooching out around the area, Liana? I can't remember. The what do you call that? There's a word that women use.
Fupa?
Fupa?
I don't know if that's it, but there's a, like, I don't know. Like, it looks like you have a dick where your vagina's supposed to be.
Oh, what?
Camel toe.
No, well, no. It's moose knuckle.
Moose knuckle. Well, what's a camel toe then?
Oh, it's the opposite.
Okay, the opposite. Okay, fine. I don't know about female anatomy. Don't come at me.
Let's move on from the runway. Let's talk about challenges. Now, this season had a really interesting amount of challenges, considering that about half of them were comedy between, you know, the snatch game, and then the improv Jersey Justice, then the roast, and then if you want to call Sex and the Cutter Girl 3 comedy, I guess we'll put it up there. But I just want to give huge commendations to the club challenge. That was so much fun, so unexpected, and so new. As Monique described, it was so many challenges in one between designing painting for a little bit, creating an aesthetic, creating like a script and a video as well. And I think it shows that, you know, say what you want to about the meme-iness of Club 96, but everyone at least did pretty well in that challenge. And I think it absolutely shows that these queens showed they were sort of, they have experience in sort of creating their own brand, whether it be good or not. And that was a challenge that I absolutely loved. And we will not speak about the challenge that happened in the penultimate episode. I will never say that name again. Brent, did you have any other challenge highlights for you, either from a performance perspective or an overall challenge perspective?
I actually think that they managed to improve Snatch Game, where it was actually really fun this year. We had a couple of stinkers, but overall, I really enjoyed the way they did it. We were able to get a little bit more intimate with the queens. I thought it was a step up, considering that the last few seasons, I haven't really liked the Snatch Game very much. Of the curves and swerves, things padded for the gods, that you have license to do whatever you want. I thought that was so interesting to watch. You know, who chooses to be safe and who chooses to really knock it out of the park? That was when Valentina did her infamous, like, deconstructed drag look that she was trying to sell to the judges, which I actually kind of got on board for. I did enjoy it. But I'm with you. The club look, or the club look challenge, rather. Whoever thought of that, like, bravo to you, honey. Because that's, you know, there's a lot. This RuPaul's Drag Race can get a little formulaic at times. You know, witness the finale, but that was not. And that was something where I was, my attention did not waver during that episode. I was very intrigued to find out, okay, what are they doing here? How are they building this? What is their plan? What is their point of view? How are they executing it? How are the judges feeling about it? It held my interest through the whole thing. And that's all you can ask out of an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
The only critique I really have for that episode and that challenge was the fact that as an audience member, it was really hard to tell who was succeeding and who was failing.
Right.
I think that for me was just the biggest thing because, you know, it's hard to recreate an experience on your television, whereas something that's a little simpler, like the Supergirl group performance, it's a little easier to tell who's doing well and who's doing poorly, but that does get repetitive, you know? And so, like, I have to give credit to the creativity for trying to do something different other than, you know, something that we've seen before. Which, speaking of the Supergirl group, remember when Henny was on the show a bunch?
She was in the entire first half of the season and then just disappeared.
She should have made the finale. Yeah,
I know. They should have gone back, refilmed everything with a double win and had Henny crown them both.
Yeah, there was someone I think who tweeted out a picture of like the true final four of All-Stars 4. It was like Monet and Valentina and Manila Luzon and Henny. Like that was the final four that everybody wanted. Like something like that.
That's too funny.
If only. And I will also say, I'll give credit to the Jersey Justice Challenge as well, because those improv challenges can be a little iffy. And I think I recall us saying that week that outside of Latrice, everyone else did at least a pretty good job. And so maybe it's because they had sort of an aesthetic to get into, but it was fun to see them have a back and forth with Michelle as well. It was fun to see Michelle sort of step out from behind the judges' table and do something like that. So there were some interesting challenges. And Lollapalooza, say what you want to about it essentially being an hour and a half of RuPaul songs, but there were fun lip syncs there. And speaking of which, I would love to hear from you guys if you have any either good overall lip syncs or individual lip sync performances. I mean, I'll list off a few on the top of my head here. Manila Luzon during the How Will I Know against Trinity, just that moment she hits the backstage and just like caresses her arm against the proscenium was so good. We heaped praise on Valentina's Into You, where yeah, it was a little messy and a little more cardio than it was a full out lip sync, but she really turned it out and proved she wanted to redeem herself. But basically, I'm just going to put for this anything with Naomi Smalls.
Anything with Naomi Smalls, bitch. Yes.
Yeah, her adrenaline against Gia Gunn, which could have arguably been a double Shantae, was so good. That backbend had people gagging for weeks. And of course, there's a reason why she brought up the Come Rain or Come Shine lip sync in this episode. She was manic, she was funny, and she was just a joy to watch. And I feel like, again, if we're talking about the overall reputation of Naomi Smalls, say what you want to about the final results, point to that. She shows she's a hell of a performer on that stage.
Yeah, look to that. Like when we were gagging, everyone was standing her. Oh my God, we love you. During that lip sync with Gia, it was a gag-worthy moment. And then fast forward 2 weeks later, We hate you. How could you eliminate Manila Luzon? And I was one of those people. I tweeted her. I tweeted her when she did the ellipsic against Gia Gunn, and she was fantastic. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't believe in you until now. And now I think you can win. Then a couple weeks later, when she eliminates Manila, I'm like, fuck you. I didn't say anything hateful to her. So I didn't come for her like that. But I'm a fan. I'm allowed to get on social media. I'm thinking about Taryn and Matt's crazy podcast where they're like, you gotta be nicer to people. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can't with that. Whatever. Okay. I'm not trying to be anything like bully them or anything, but I'm allowed to go on social media and say, you know what? You were on TV. You chose to be on TV. Fuck you, bitch. I didn't care for what you did up there. So that's how I feel about it. What you got?
Oh no, I'm not getting in the middle of this. I think for me the biggest ones that stand out are honestly the Manila's. Just was so good, so good,
really,
and was. That's the one that I really think of when I think about lip syncs this season. I mean, I guess along with Naomi is her Judy Garland one. Those are probably the two that really stand out to me the most.
And the sooner we forget about Trinity wearing that old person naked body, the better.
Oh God, that happened.
That's a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
I forgot about that. Oh my God, why did you have to bring that up? Oh my God.
I try to forget that happened.
Well, that's the thing, though, and maybe one of the reasons why I want to sort of talk through the season is because, like you said, Liana, it's a questionable way that things ended, no matter how you slice it. But I honestly feel like if you look at the journey instead of the destination across the board, this is a damn good season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, especially compared to All-Stars 3, which I feel like really fell off a cliff between the legitimacy of the casting and the ending. This was a really fun cast that either brought drama, talent, or some case of both. We said before that like the final seven in particular was a really strong group of queens. We saw great looks. We saw great challenge performances. We saw great lip syncs. We saw great guest judges. I mean, going down this list here, Jennifer Lewis in the first episode, Sierra and Casey Musgraves, who, by the way, brought last night Monet and Trinity on stage to perform with her. She's a huge Drag Race person. I love her for it. Gus Kenworthy and Keenan Lonsdale were great during the Snatch Game of Love. Erica Ash and Zoe Kravitz, Cecily Strong, Yvette Nicole Brown, Rita Ora, Suzanne Barsh, The Woman Does Not Age, Ellen Pompeo, Frances Bean Cobain, Felicity Huffman, Jason Wu. This was a really strong group of guest judges overall. And this, I loved getting to talk about this season. There were some questionable things in there, and there were a lot of surprises, you know, between the fact that we did this Lollapalooza thing, considering that we did not get returning queens foreshadowed to us. Manila's elimination, we're still talking about it and have these mixed feelings as to the fact that somebody in 3 years of All-Stars rules actually went for the leading threat and, took the shot when she wanted to. And of course, this ending, say what you want to about the quality of these surprises, but the fact that they pulled out these surprises, I am going to give them props for. So on the whole, I give major kudos to RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. Does it legitimize the fact that All-Stars needs to happen every year? Maybe not so much, but if it does need to happen, it needs to have this type of cast, because I really enjoyed watching these queens overall. Liana, what'd you think about this season at the end of the day?
Yeah, I think this season will actually probably age well, because I think while we do have this bad taste from the finale, and, you know, maybe you could say the Latrice stuff is a little rigor mortis, I think overall you've got some really fun moments, really great runway looks. And I had a lot of fun going over and watching the season and talking about it with the two of you. So really, you know, I can't complain. I will say, though, I could use a break. Mm-hmm. So if All-Stars wants to take a year or two off, I'd be fine with that.
I think back at that video with the lady who helps out Oprah Winfrey, where she's talking to the one girl and she's like, is that something you would like? Yes. Well, you're never going to get it.
No, we're going to get it in like 3 months. It just so happens that they pack 6 months of Drag Race into one intense half year stretch.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's not often on a podcast where I feel like I came away with something, and I have today. Occasionally it happens when we're talking about strategy or a point of view with contestants on Big Brother, and Taryn or Rob or Melissa will say something, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't think about it that way. But Mike, you really did alter the way I am trying to process this finale. And I hope people out there who are listening, where it it when you said it's not about the ending, it's in the result, it's more about the journey. And if you can look at it from that standpoint, I think you really can appreciate it. And that really helped soothe it for me. Also, the fact that they awarded each of them $100,000 helps salve the wounds a little bit more. And overall, it was a really great, fun season. The finale was a stinker, let's be honest. And so was the result. But everything else about it with this cast, they were fun queens. I think that we're just going to have to realize that, you know, all-star rules are all-star rules. And they are not. It doesn't have the same sanctity, if you want to call it that, of the main show. I expect pretty fair decisions during the main show. With an all-star show, the rules are kind of out the window. It's whatever RuPaul wants the rules to be. And you have some great queens come in there and, you know, they're going to have a great time and show you some great shit. And they're going to try to get some bookings afterwards and up their career and their overall, you know, visibility. But when you concentrate more on that, I do feel like it really helps. It helps soothe the heart a little bit. It's about the journey, not about the result.
Well, to finish off our talk on All Stars 4, I would love to let's put our casting hats on for a brief second, because we know All Stars 5 is coming. Liana, are there any queens that you would love to see from any season of RuPaul's Drag Race? Let's count out season 11, but there'll probably be a couple on there. But any from the first 10 seasons that you want to see come back for a chance at the crown through whatever cockamamie rule system they're going to come up with for All Stars 5?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I really have to think about this. There's definitely some queens where like I'm shocked that they haven't been back. I mean, I know that Thorgy was on. I was gonna say maybe Acid Betty, but doesn't she not have like the best relationship with
that's all we hear.
I mean, Jasmine Masters was on, so I don't know if that really says anything.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's really true. There are definitely some people that I don't want to see, like Eureka, for example, would be someone that I would be very happy not seeing. I think someone like, you know, some of the queens that were on the Christmas special, I could definitely see back. You know, for example, Kim Chi would be absolutely lovely, or even someone like Mayhem Miller or Sonique, I think would be two queens that I would be really happy to see. But yeah, no Eureka, please. Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, that Christmas special really gave us Mayhem Miller. She has earned her spot on an All-Stars. If she's not on an All-Stars, I think we're going to have to be like Trinity. I call shade. Like, she has to be there. Sonique was really fun as well. I don't know if she could be that fun over a season, but she was really great during the Christmas special. I would love to see her. Outside of that, I'm open. I mean, like, there's a reason why I'm not a casting director, because I would not have picked Naomi Smalls for this season, and she blew me out of the water. She was really fantastic. And again, it's not often I say it where I'm like, I'm wrong. You know what? I was wrong about that. I judged her. I thought there was nothing more to see here, and I couldn't have been more far off, because she was really fantastic. Totally earned her spot in the finale. Didn't deserve to win, but gagged me a few different times. It's not easy to do that on a show where I feel like in some ways I've seen everything when it comes to drag, because, you know, I've been watching drag since I was like 17 years old, and I'm like 4 years old now. So, you know, I feel like I've seen it all, but she managed to gag me a few times, and that's great.
Yeah, I want to grab a few queens from recent seasons, even though it does come, you know, we had a season 9 and season 10 queen just win the season now. I mean, we had Trinity just compete. The other big person that people thought was going to win the season, let's bring Shea Coulee back. It's got to happen.
Yeah, Shea Coulee.
That's true.
We got it. She killed season 9, and we got to see if she's able to complete it, much like Trinity did here. Actually, and I feel like Nina Bonina Brown has really redeemed herself, but I feel like the way that she ended up going out in season 9, I feel like she's really been making the rounds and really has been like upping her aesthetic even more, which is super unique and super interesting. You know, in the seasons off. So I think she would be really cool to return.
Yeah. Oh, I would be so here for Nina Bonina Brown. I actually would be very excited. Okay. Write it down.
And also season 10, I would say, look, we had Monet, we had Monique. Let's finish off the Trinity, not the Tuck. Give me Asia O'Hara. I feel like Asia
Give
has
me
that.
Asia.
Yeah, yep. Asia has that unfinished business as well.
She does. Of
the butterfly kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. But she put out these amazing runways and interesting performances as well. And I would say, I think someone who needs a second chance and deserves a second chance is Ms. Cracker, because she was so interesting in her original season, but she got so fucking in her head. And I want to see if she can come back and get a better sense of herself if she's going to do great things. I remember when she got eliminated, people were saying, Miss Cracker is going to be great on All Stars 5, and I hope that becomes a thing personally.
I hope that's a thing too. Yeah, I'm not totally convinced that she can get outside of her own head. I am hopeful that she can, and I would be very interested to see what would happen on an All Stars appearance by Miss Cracker. So yeah, all of those people you brought up, great. I always liked a few what the fuck kind of casting choices. So that those anything like that would be fun from like way back in the day. I don't know if there's anybody else I'm trying to miss right now, but I think we've covered it.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, this information will come back around the summer when the spoilers start putting things out. But I just thought it was interesting to sort of float it out because we know what's happening. And I'm also happy as well, to your point, Brent, that they are pulling in queens from older seasons as well. I hope we see someone like a Sonique on next season, because I think that was a really cool thing that they did. And I love that they are, unlike some other reality shows out there, embracing their history in full rather than, you know, cherry picking people from the recent seasons. That's really exciting.
It's really exciting. I love
I'm
that.
I'm excited
Leona.
For the mooch.
Stop bringing out the goddamn mooch.
No, the mooch's drag name is going to be the cooch. That just put it out of there. So let's look ahead to season 11 here. So I'm just going to give you all a heads up out there as to how we're going to do season 11. First, we are not taking a break, as Brent put beforehand, because season 11 starts in 2 weeks. It is premiering. It's moving to Thursday nights, moving back to Thursday nights, which is super interesting. It's going to be airing on February 28th, I believe, with guest judge Miley Cyrus. But we are going to be getting together, even though Drag Race will be off next week, we're going to get together to do our thoughts on the season 11 cast, all 15 of them. As a heads up, it's not going to be our usual comprehensive draft analysis format. I think we're going to do things quick and dirty. Because I think we all want a bit of a respite
seasons.
So I think we're thinking about a timing system to set up where we're just gonna give our brief thoughts on each of these 15 queens, because there's only so much preparation you can do before we actually see when they hit the damn main stage. But how are you guys feeling about season 11, especially now that All Stars 4 is over?
I'm excited for it. I like to discover new queens. I'm really excited about this podcast. Like, for those of you who don't understand what we're talking about, think like ESPN, like Around the Horn or Pardon the Interruption. That's kind of what we're going for, because we want to try to streamline our thoughts. And there's really not a ton when it comes to all these queens, especially in terms of, you know, and half the time we're wrong anyway. So I don't want to like talk into a microphone about something when I have no freaking idea what I'm talking about. I do that enough over at Big Brother anyway, so I don't have to do that here. But I'm excited. I like to discover new toys and new things to play with. And I think we're going to get that with this season. I've seen some people who I'm here for. There are a couple of really interesting choices on this season. And I'm hopeful that those people who are interesting can survive the gamut. That is, you know, you have to be good at these sort of, it's like Big Brother. Like, Big Brother has these stupid carnival-esque games that you kind of have to be good at in order to probably win the show, or at least be friends with somebody who's good at winning them. And I feel like in some ways that's the way Drag Race is. You can be a fantastic drag queen, and people can sing your praises at your local club, but if you don't know how to do these challenges, you are not going to survive. So I'm hopeful that they're able to.
Yeah, I'm excited. I know it's like, okay, it would be nice to have a break, but I like shiny new toys, much like Brent does. So I'm looking forward to learning more about these queens. I've done very little prep up until this point.
None.
Find out. But I'm sure they're all wonderful.
Well, speaking of not a break, as we continue to cover RuPaul's Drag Race in all its glory, I know the two of you are still up to your elbows in Big Brother. I know we recently just finished coverage of Celebrity Big Brother, but you'll both be back doing some coverage of Big Brother Canada as it rears its head around the corner in March. So let's finish things off. Go around, even though we're not taking a break into next week, as we put a period on the end of our All-Stars 4 coverage, we can plug what's coming up next. Brent, let's start with you.
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E, across all platforms, Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram. I use Twitter mostly, occasionally Instagram, Snapchat, not that much. Who uses Snapchat anymore ever since their freaking update? No one liked the update. I don't know why they did it. Anyway, that's where you can find me, and I'm going to be talking about Big Brother Canada. I'm sure we're a Big Brother Canada Season 7, Leona. I'm so excited about it. I'm actually glad for this little brief respite we have in between Celebrity Big Brother and Big Brother Canada. We don't have to listen to Taryn in the freaking morning. On the other hand, we don't get Leona Saturdays, so that's a bit of a downer. So what you doing over there, girl?
Okay, so you can find me on social media. I'm at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. And, well, you can come and stay at the B&B because Survivor is back, baby.
Where's my invitation? Where's my invitation?
Bitch, just, okay, cool it down. You'll be on. We love you, okay? So we did a preseason podcast talking about our thoughts on the new cast. And then, obviously, we're going to be back every single week talking about all the insanity of Survivor and playing several games along the way. Should be a lot of fun.
By the way, make sure you invite me to the B&B. I need my invitation before War Dog gets voted off, if ever, because I need to gush about him. Okay,
fine. I mean, Brett, listen, we jump around all over the place on that show. You can buckle up War Dog like in season 40 still. You're totally fine doing that. You can always follow me at A Mike Bloom. Type Liana spoke about our B&B coverage. Just as an announcement, no exit press for Survivor. So maybe I'll be doing some different stuff for Parade, but that's pretty much where I'm going to be doing my Survivor coverage.
How
from
dare
there.
They do that to you, Mike? This twist sucks, y'all. That's why I tell you. Anyway, moving on. I jumped the shark.
But you can also check out the Top Chef coverage that we're doing both in my exit press there for Parade and the podcast we're doing as that rounds the bend. Actually, very pertinent to this show, I had the distinct pleasure of talking this week about Star Trek Discovery. I interviewed Wilson Cruz and Anthony Rapp, who play the first major same-sex couple in Star Trek history. Not to spoil too much about this past week's episode, but it involves them, and they gave some very interesting discussions about the show's depiction of love and grief and the LGBTQ community, which I thought was, it was a really great conversation. So please check that out, thr.com/StarTrekDiscovery. I'm also covering it officially with Jessica Leese on postshowrecaps.com as well. I'm surely some other stuff will come up in the next few months too. Though again, we're doing all these plugs, but we're just going to be back next week talking about the season 11 cast anyway. So, so it doesn't really matter. Thank you all for staying tuned through this extra long podcast and through our coverage of All-Stars 4 all season long. I really do mean it, that it was a delight to get to talk through this all, not only with the two of you, but with the community at large. Let us know your thoughts about the finale, about this admitted cop-out ending, and your overall thoughts on season 4, on All-Stars 4. And give us your thoughts about season 11 as well. Maybe we can incorporate that into our round-the-horn style of our quick and dirty thoughts next week. But that's going to do it. We are officially putting an end to our All-Stars 4 coverage. Thank you all so much for listening. Brent, Liana, fantastic work as per usual. For now, you may sashay away. Bye!